Will you turn, please, with me in your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 49. I'm going to read a few verses there, just a short reading today. Genesis, chapter 49. We've looked at this chapter on several other occasions. You are probably familiar with the contents. It is when Jacob has called his sons together. He's going to leave this world. He's going to die soon. And he calls them together in order to bless them. They were real people who represented tribes. And what he had to say to them would take place in the days that lay ahead. And we know, of course, that that come to pass. We're going to go down the chapter there to verse 22, where it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches ran over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is a shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. Amen. We'll just have another wee word of prayer together. Ask the Lord to settle us down and to use his word to instruct us, to help us and encourage us even today. Father in heaven, we thank you today that we have the Bible before us once more. Lord, it is a great privilege and we don't take it for granted. But Lord, we pray that we would hear thy speaking voice. Lord, we do remember thy past mercies and goodness. But Lord, we need fresh blessing. We pray that you draw near to each and every one now. Lord, you know all our circumstances. You know every care and concern and anxiety that there is among the members of the congregation. And Father, we're not unmindful again of those who can't be here, who would love to be. We think of Harry. We think, Lord, of others who are in their house, can't really be out very often. Think of those out of the country too. Think of some that are not well. We pray that you'd undertake for them and bless them in their own hearts today and encourage them. Encourage all of us. And lead us on through thy word. We pray in our Saviour's name. Amen. We're looking this morning at Joseph, one of the most remarkable men in the Old Testament, and a man who goes down in history as one of the most faithful servants of the Lord of all time. It is true to say that in any lifetime that there would be few men who would experience the great diversity of events that happened to Joseph. Very many of them, we have to say, in his earlier days, would have been unpleasant to him. If you know a little bit about Joseph, and we did look at him on other occasions, we did a little series one time, and we looked at some things regarding Joseph, but if you know anything about him, you know that he was a man of outstanding character, an upright citizen, no one who could rightly say anything against the way that he was living. For the way that he conducted himself, it seems to have been impeccable. He had a great care for his father, for his family, and as we saw, as the years go by, he had a great care for everyone else as well. He was what you and I would call a good person, a good relative, or a good neighbor. But as you read the early history concerning Joseph, it seems that in the early days, nothing, or very little, was going right, as he seen it. And as he would look around him, and as he would listen to his brothers, and he would see what was going on, there was an awful lot there that could easily have shaken a young man like that, and had him turn away from all of those things that were in his life that were outstanding in a good sense. But that didn't happen. Do you remember way later on in his life when he was reconciled with his brothers and he told them who he was and so on away down in Egypt when he said, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. They said that God had sent him there to preserve people alive. God in his providence had so organized circumstances that young Joseph would be dragged down into Egypt, because we believe that that is exactly what happened. He would not have went willingly. It was an awful experience for him. And it all began with envy and hatred in the hearts of his own brothers. A bitter pill to swallow, to say the least, for any person. And here he was. He had done his best in his very early days to be as helpful to these boys as he could have been. Do you remember when they went to Dothan, where incidentally they shouldn't have been? And then he went to look for them. And when he went to look for them, they said, "Here's this dreamer coming," to paraphrase their language. And they began to put into action the evil thoughts that were in their mind towards him. But overall, Joseph, and this is what we want to emphasize, Joseph remained faithful to the Lord. And more than that, he remained faithful to other people. In our services today, certainly in our own church and in many, many other places, there are little times of remembrance, and some occasions there are long remembered services at cenotaphs and so on. And we are remembering people who were faithful in defending this country. People who, young fellows and girls, 18 and 19, who went away and died in some glar hole, far away from family. Maybe died a lingering death. And we would never want to forget their faithfulness. Joseph was a faithful man in what God called him to do. And I do trust that as we look for a wee while this morning at Joseph again, that we will all remember that today we still need Josephs. When we see our circumstances, sometimes we may feel, well, almost nothing is going right. Everything seems to be going the opposite to the way that I would see as beneficial to anyone. But Joseph was able to say, as we mentioned earlier, "Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And I trust that we will endeavor to, in our lives, while we are in different circumstances from he was, and we're in different circumstances from the young men and women of Ulster who laid down their lives in many a place, here on our own soil, and older people as well, in order that we may continue to enjoy religious freedom, civil and religious liberty, that they were faithful in that context, that we will be faithful in what God has given us to do. We're approaching the mission, and we would want to be faithful. And my title this morning is a very simple one. It is "The Battle for Faithfulness." The battle for faithfulness. I want you to notice several things, and I'll not keep you too long this morning, all being well. I want you to notice, first of all, the impact of faithfulness. Please look with me there in verse 22. It says, "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches ran over the wall." Now, we need to remember that the other brothers were all listening here as Jacob was saying this concerning Joseph. And he was pointing to a day that was on down the road there, but a day that would surely come to pass when Joseph, in a very manifest way, would be seen to be a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. He's comparing this young man to the branch of a tree that is laden down with fruit. And folks, that is the Lord's aim for every one of us. It is not that I can come to you and say, not that I would, come to you and say, "Have you ever led anyone to the Lord? How many have you led to the Lord? How many people are interested in hearing your testimony? How many people know that you teach Sunday school?" It's not any of those things. It's not a competition. But rather, it is about being faithful in what God has given us to do. God does the saving, and we are his instruments in his hand. And his aim for all of us is that we would be like a fruitful bough by a well in what we do. How do you judge fruitfulness? You judge it by faithfulness. And when you think here of young Joseph, look, please turn back, if you would look there, in chapter 41. Same book, Genesis chapter 41, please. This verse. Just want you to see what it says here. It says there in verse 52 of Genesis 41, "And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." His name, the name of Joseph is synonymous with affliction. But the name of Joseph is always identified with God-given fruitfulness in various different areas of his life. And you can see there, "For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Joseph could say, even in spite of the fact that it was a very difficult circumstance, "The Lord has caused me to bear fruit for his name and for his glory." And that is what the Lord is able to do for his people still. If you look there in 2 Peter in chapter 1, you see the reference here to, I've mentioned them before, the various things that you add to your faith. And when you look at chapter 1 in the early verses, that is 2 Peter chapter 1, the early verses there of the chapter, you have here a whole catalogue of virtues. And every one of them was found in the life and experience of Joseph. He displayed them all in a most excellent way. You see where it says there in verse 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience," and to the word temperance meaning self-discipline, "and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." And here is as a list of virtues, and when you trace them through the life of Joseph, you have no problem finding them all. They were all there. And the man who is faithful in these things and displays this kind of thing that was found in Joseph's life, he cannot but be noticed. You see what it says there in verse 8 in that first chapter of 2 Peter. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then it says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off." The reference here is to a man who has these things. Now, when you think of the knowledge, you think of his dreams. Do you remember the dreams when he was able to interpret them? You think the temperance, self-control, the patience. He was in prison, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. It's another hard pill, better pill to swallow for him. Godliness, Pharaoh saw that he was a man in whom the Spirit was, the Pharaoh, elevated him to an almost unbelievable position. Brotherly kindness, well, that doesn't need any explanation. How many of us could have the Spirit that he had? Sometimes I think that in all of us there's that little thought, well, if the day comes when I can get my own back, I'm not going to miss it. That was not the Spirit of Joseph. But rather, Joseph was a man of a different spirit. Do you remember in chapter 50? You can read it again yourself of Joseph. Genesis, you can read there over in Genesis chapter 50. His charity, his brotherly kindness is almost beyond compare. You can sense the tension there at that time when he was explaining to his brothers who he was. He was in control now. Things had turned right around. God in his providence had sent him into Egypt long ago, and I'm sure when he was 17 or 18 years of age, he could not, if the truth be really known, he could not really trace the hand of God in his experience at that time. He would have been deeply grieved as he was taken away from the father's house. And we know that as he knew his father was getting older and he was away down in Egypt, his heart would have been broken. As he would have been wondering about the welfare of his father and indeed of the welfare of his brethren as well. But he was a man, and we can say, he gave himself. He gave himself for others. Now today we do remember those who gave their lives, young men, and if you watch some of the really old footage, you see young fellows in their hundreds running at the enemy's guns and being cut down like rats. And some person who very often was afraid to go themselves, standing ordering them over the top. They gave themselves for the freedom that you enjoy. Every time the doors opened, we should thank the Lord. Others died that we might have this. So here's Joseph. And he was a man and he gave himself for the benefit of others. And that was the tremendous impact of his faithfulness of the Lord. He was a very Christ-like man. It says here, Joseph is a fruitful bough. I'm sure you know what that means. Have you turn, please, in your Bible to John chapter 15. There to where the Lord said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Where it says taketh away, there in the original language, it means he lifts it up. If a branch, you think of it, a branch is hanging down in the dirt there and it's not bearing any fruit, he lifts it up. Isn't it good that he's able to do that for us if we need to be lifted up? And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And this is a tremendous passage here. Even in verse 7 there it says, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And I want you to notice something which upon which everything else really hinges. He tells us here in this passage, without me, ye can do nothing. The end of verse 5, do you see that? The possibility is here of being fruitful, and the ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And all of these encouragements in verse 11, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. All of this is great. But again it says, without me, ye can do nothing. You and I can't be faithful without the Lord's help. Without that abiding in him. The alternative to being like Joseph, a fruitful bough, like a branch that goes over the wall there, well, it's dryness and barrenness. And to be honest with you folks, it doesn't really bear thinking about that a generation should rise which seems to be happening. And there's very little but barrenness. I'm going to read what it says, and I think I've read it before over in Judges chapter 2. You know that in the days of Joshua, the Lord moved in a most remarkable way. It says in verse 10 about Judges 2, and there arose another generation after them that knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. In other words, all that they had heard, they didn't listen. They didn't listen. Didn't want to know. It's like saying today that when people hear of what the Lord did in the 1950s and 60s, and we don't have the monopoly, of course, there are plenty of other people who are preaching the word, but we're speaking here in the context of what the Lord has done for us. It's like young people growing up through our churches and saying, we just don't want to know. It's not interesting. It doesn't really matter to us. That's really what was happening here, had happened here when Joshua and those who lived with him, when they had gone to be with the Lord. And then it says in verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Absolutely out of control. You see, you can't have a situation where there's no attention to that which is right and no consequences. The consequences was that they went out of control. And it says there they worshipped the Balaam. Here was a people who were irresponsible. Verse 12, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods. They followed the gods of the people. Is that not what is happening today? Not just among young people, but there's a thought there to just to want to be like all of the rest. Here's a tremendous picture of the alternative to being a fruitful bough. Here's barrenness. And it's among Israel. There's no question about that. It says it provoked the Lord. And it says, and this is very, very frightening, it says at the end of verse 14, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Again, I mentioned just earlier, young men and young women too, who stood and displayed unbelievable courage at times. You read the stories, you hear about it in the news, or they might want to tell you just how courageous some of them were. jumping in front of officers to take a bullet for them, and all that kind of behaviour. And standing before the enemy and displaying in really, really harsh situations, hungry and cold and lonely, away from hundreds and hundreds of miles from home, just running at the enemy. Tremendous courage. Well, here's what it says concerning Israel at this time. They could no longer stand before their enemies. And God forbid that the day would ever come when there rises a generation up in our own denomination that cannot stand before their enemies. And by that I mean cannot stand and declare God's truth. God forbid that the day would come when the Sunday school teacher has nothing but a little fairy story for the children, or their preacher has nothing but some illustration and a few moral points to make, and nothing of God's word, nothing of gospel truth. But rather, here was a man in Joseph. The impact of his fruitfulness, you can almost feel it yourself. We can also say here that in his life, the concern for others was very easily seen. It says there, back in Genesis 49, a fruitful bough by a wall whose branches ran over the wall. You think of a road and some sort of a wall, and you have this branch that is hanging out over the wall there. And the traveller, he's coming along, maybe a person who hasn't had a drink for a while, and I mean water. They're parched. And they're coming along and they see this branch over the wall and it's laden down with fruit. And if he were to go there and whatever kind of fruit it was, let's just say out of interest that it is an orange or a peach, something juicy, wouldn't that be refreshing to him? Wouldn't that be a great encouragement to him to come along to that? Well, this illustration shows that Joseph's life was such that it was just like that. That a person who was parched and thirsty could find great refreshment in his life and through the way that he conducted himself. So his influence had spread out to family, and the Lord knew what was in him. And folks, never underestimate what you're able to do for the Lord. If we give our lives to the Lord, he can do far, far more with us than we can ever do with ourselves. And that's especially important for young people to remember this. Look away from your own thoughts of ability and all of that. The Lord is concerned with availability. That's what it is. Something to do for him. And here was a young man, and he not only was a great influence at home, he was a great influence down in Egypt in the days that would lie ahead in his own experience. And perhaps the thought is here, and I've no doubt that it is, of doing far more than expected. Doing more than expected. His dedication and commitment was of the very best type. You think of the Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan could have gone by on the other side as well, instead of helping the person who needed to be helped. But the Good Samaritan, really, their branches went over the wall. They reached out. And in everyday life, there are people who, in ordinary experience, there are people who their devotion to what they're doing does go over the wall. You think of some of the nursing staff in Northern Ireland. And I know, and I feel that you could not overpay a nurse. I've told nurses that many times. Told it to one not that long ago. You couldn't overpay them. But there's so many of them, and they go far beyond what they're really required to do. Why? Because they're dedicated to looking after people. And they're committed to doing their very best to look after them. My own sister is a Marie Carey, senior care assistant. And she was around the country with people who are very ill indeed. And I like to think that her branches go over the wall. She calls in with those people around the Mourns and all the different places where she goes to see them and deteriorate in circumstances. That she doesn't just be thinking, well, I'm going to get well paid for this. She does get well paid. You couldn't overpay them. But their branches, their heart is in what they're doing. Their dedication and commitment is beyond. You couldn't put a price on it. Well, in the work of the Lord, dedication and commitment are so, so important in the work. You think of our own denomination. So many churches have started because a little group of people began to pray And they began to look around them and they thought, well, there's a lot of people around here and I really like them and they're not saved. And there's people here and they're living badly and I'd love to see them saved. And there's no gospel, faithful gospel witness in the area. And they began to pray and then a little group got together and one thing led on to another. And eventually they had a church and it was constituted. And today in some of those places there are churches that have been up for a long time, still preaching the word of God. But you know something else? When you think of this wall, you think not only of that branch going over the wall, which is so refreshing and so welcome, but you know, the wall couldn't stop the blessing. Whenever the branch came to the wall, it went up over the wall. And whenever God's people are committed in the way, to them in the way that young Joseph was, to looking after others, then it doesn't matter what the devil tries to do. He can't stop the blessing from coming. Can't stop the Lord from blessing you and from encouraging you in the work. Doesn't the word say in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's great sermon there, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now you'd be a very foolish person if you couldn't see Joseph's good works. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So this faithfulness of Joseph had a tremendous impact. It impacted upon his family. His brothers saw it. They reacted in a negative way initially. We know that. Sold them out. Sold them away in another country. It extended, his faithfulness extended in all of his experiences down in Egypt. And his faithfulness extended beyond his lifetime. It didn't die when his time on earth was up. Indeed, when they were in the promised land, Joseph got two portions. You remember that Reuben had lost the birthright? Well, that was given to Joseph. In fact, Joseph, in a sense, became a double tribe. And hundreds of years later, in Numbers chapter 26, you can read it yourself, what was the most numerous tribe? The tribe of Joseph. And there he was, standing the youngest among, or one of the youngest among these boys before the father there. And he was saying to these boys, which were probably eyeing with envy even at that time, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. And then he goes on to talk about the archers shooting on him and so on, but his bow prevailing. In other words, he's going to be successful and he's going to be seen to be successful. What a tremendous impact he had for good and for God. And he knew, you see, that he was responsible not only to men of his own generation, but he was responsible to those who came after. And again, if we think back to the wars when young men or women were away from home, sure they're crying every day, mothers and fathers at home, hearts broken. Very, very many of them were never going to come back. When they were there, they knew that what they were doing would hopefully allow their siblings, maybe younger brothers or sisters at home, said goodbye and knew they'd probably never seen them again. They knew that what they were doing would contribute towards freedom for the family at home and for the future at home. And in God's work, we have to work in our own generation, but we want those who are coming on after us, who enter into the labours, we want them to know the blessing of the Lord. And to be able to stand and talk with the enemy in the gate. When I say talk with the enemy, I mean stand firm in the gate for the cause of Jesus Christ here on earth. So this faithfulness, it makes an impact. And that impact was greatly displayed in Joseph's life. But I want to move on quickly and say here that there's very much at our disposal whenever we seek to be fruitful and faithful. Very much at our disposal when we seek to be fruitful and faithful. When we think of wells that are dug out, when we think of wells, we think of that which is dug out in the ground there, the place where my mum and dad now live. When we first went to live there, when I was just a very tiny boy, about three, there was a big well up the back, and it was done at that stage, and it was covered over with a couple of sheets of corrugated iron, and my father saw to it for too long, for we much bigger, that it was all filled in because it was very dangerous. But that's what you think of when you think of a well, something here that is dug out. Well, the word that is used here, where it says, even a well whose branches run over the wall, the thought here is of a tremendous source. In fact, the word well is translated in the Bible over 400 times, I. And which is a small opening. But 14 times it is referred to as a place where the water is gushing. You think of Psalm 1. The man, the blessed man, planted by the rivers of water. He's right at the best place. Right at the source of the water there where he can get all that he needs. And water, of course, in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Spirit and his work in the Christian. When the Christian comes to him, this is how we are sustained, how we are strengthened. We're strengthened by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Speaking to the boys in the Bible class this morning about sanctification and how we must pray and read the Word. And God does not work contrary to his Word. In fact, we were just saying to them for guidance in their lives, if they pray and they read God's Word and come and listen to it preached and they apply what they're hearing to or reading to their own lives and they look to God for his providence and his providential dealings, then they will know guidance in their young lives, which is so important. But this can only happen if we're walking with the Lord, because it is the Holy Spirit walking in our life that makes all of the difference. That is what is at our disposal today. I'm going to mention something. I'm going to say that in the dry times, and every Christian today, due to the climate that we live in, how good it would be that we could be like Joseph. Now, I'm talking here of dry times. You think of this. You think of the 1960s here in Northern Ireland, and the 70s, and maybe even into the 80s as well, when in most missions there was some people saved. In the 60s there were many saved in almost every mission. I mentioned this to the boys this morning. Just a few weeks ago, there was a mission for 2 weeks in Donaghadee Church. There was a mission then down between Antrim Church and Ballyclare Church, held in a little hall for 2 weeks. Then there was a gospel campaign, which is finishing today in Garva. A gospel campaign in Ballymagurney a few weeks ago for 2 weeks. A gospel campaign finishing in Dromore today for 2 weeks. Now that's 5 gospel campaigns, 2 weeks each. And unless I have been fed the wrong information, in all of those missioning, there hasn't been one person saved. That's barrenness. Folks, that shows us the dryness of the day. But as individuals, we can still be like Joseph, a fruitful vine. And that's what we must endeavour to do. Seek to make the very best use of what God has given to us, of all that he's given to us at our disposal. We have the building, we have the opportunity, we've got the sign up outside the door, either going out with invitations tomorrow, and so will John Douglas and maybe others, and you'll be inviting people along to the mission. And we must look to the Lord to give the increase, because only he can do that. We have everything else, but we must have the blessing of the Lord. Please look quickly there in Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. It says here, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." This is God's people. "And hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Now, what sort of an impact is that going to have on the unconverted around you? It's like having the light and hiding your light under a bushel, like knowing the gospel and not opening your mouth when it's your responsibility to do that. Plenty of preachers in Northern Ireland willing to fall into that category these days. But that is the awful danger of these days. Brethren, pray that we will never fall into it. That we will never allow these dry times. I mentioned 5 campaigns. I hope ours, we see some people saved. Could be 6 campaigns. Days of awful dryness. Days when the branch going over the wall with the fruit is desperately needed. The Lord help us to have the faithfulness. And it's a battle, because you have to pray. You have to read the Word and you want to be under the sound of the Word, and sometimes that means giving ourselves a bit of a shove. It's always worth it. The Lord blesses us. There's very much at our disposal in seeking to be fruitful and faithful to the Lord. I want to just say that we're not naive, we hope, because we have to notice here that there will be strong opposition to fruitfulness. Remember what we read there in Genesis chapter 49? It says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. This is Joseph. He's a good man. The illustration here, of course, is of those being against him who are seeking to put him down. You think of an archer, he's skillful. Very often the arrow will hit the mark. But then, of course, you and I are aware of what the Bible tells us about the fiery darts of the wicked. Don't think that that all ended when the Bible was written and finished. That still happens today, the fiery darts of the wicked. What would he have you to do? He may not have you to go out and do something really bad, but he'd have you to forget about the mission. Not pray. Not try and attend. Not try and do what we can. Not just for blessing for ourselves, but for the sake of others that are, at this moment in time are unsaved and don't seem to care. What kind of darts then or arrows were shot at this man Joseph? Well then, think of his brethren. It's hard when anybody doesn't seem to like you. But it's your own brother, your own flesh and blood, who have treated you in such a harsh way. Joseph proved that a man's enemies shall be they of his own house. Literally. What a hard experience that was. That was a narrow. What about Potiphar's wife? In the way that he behaved, he actually, in a sense, he saved her from a lot of hassle and a lot of shame, really. He didn't argue. He said he was innocent, and he asked the butler and the beggar, you remember them, to speak for him when they got out, but he was there, and he didn't want to speak dishonorably of her. She had a bad article. There's Potiphar's wife, there was the brethren, his own brothers, but what about his friends that he had down in there, or at least he interpreted their dreams for them, down in the prison? They forgot about him. Did anybody ever forget about you? You did something good for them and you tried to help them out and maybe even help them in a time when they really needed a friend to be there and you were there and then they forgot you. It hurt you. Discouraged you. And let you down. And they never helped you in a situation maybe where they could have helped you and they didn't return it. It's a difficult one to live with. How can we avoid this? How can we avoid these arrows being shot at us that were shot at Joseph? Well, we can say nothing, do nothing and be nothing for the Lord. But then we lose the blessing. So it's battling for faithfulness. Do we want to be in the battle when maybe we're not in just as extreme a situation as Joseph was with his brethren and Potiphar's wife and his friends forgetting him? But nonetheless, there will be great opposition to your fruitfulness. Don't think it will be any other way. But it's a battling for blessing. You see in verse 24, I'm nearly finished, it says, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. This tremendous verse that from his bow there was arrows of love and grace. That's the kind of arrows that come out of his hands. How did he manage to do it? Well, these were arrows that pierced the heart of his brothers. Do you remember the wet? Told them who he was and all. And they remembered what they'd done. They saw his kindness toward them. It says his arms are made strong by the hands of the mighty God. The picture here is of a boy trying to pull a big bow. And another, his dad or some man coming on, putting his hands over his hands and pulling the bow back like that and letting it go. How do you show grace and love in the face of opposition? The Lord. And that is how you shoot the arrows of grace and love. You look to the Lord for his help. The verse is well known to us, be not weary in well doing, for we know that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. May the Lord help us in this battle for faithfulness to avail ourselves of the help that is available to us by the Holy Spirit, to be much in prayer, to be seeking to shoot arrows for the Lord, and those arrows that will show that there's love and grace in us, and love and grace available for all who will come. The battle for faithfulness, brothers and sisters, it goes on in every generation, and it will go on through this mission, and I trust the Lord will help us all to be faithful to him. I trust these few thoughts have been helpful to you, and they will encourage your heart today.